fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. Coming to you from Studios Unknown. If you want to be the title sponsor for the show, it's up for grabs. Give us a call. It's worthwhile. It's good. It's great. You reach a lot of devoted listeners, and it's cheap. It's unbelievably cheap. You should give us a call about that. But hey, yeah. This is Common Sense Radio, and we are coming to you from the unknown to yet to be designated studios. But we're here every Thursday night. Our loyal listeners are here to hear what's going on in the world, the real story, the true story, the backstory, the side story. We're always here. And you're right where you should be in front of your radio. And we're here, and we're here every week without fail. The government can shut down, and it does not faze this man. Nothing fazes this man. Standoff with the Border Patrol does not faze this man. Mm-mm. Under siege by the FCC, but, you know, the government shutdown's kind of got them occupied. None of this phases this man. He is always here and makes sure that our electrons reach you wherever you are on TuneIn Radio, streaming on FM Talk 106.5, or just on your old truck radio out behind the garage, wherever you might be. It's all because of our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that. I'll even go toe-to-toe with Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, you will.
Nancy Pelosi. Yeah.
Get her out there on the dance floor.
She'll slash your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding.
I wouldn't even know I'm bleeding.
That's right.
Wouldn't even know.
And we also have with us to try to bring some quality to the show, to bring some value to the show so you feel like you heard something worthwhile, is our director of quality assurance that has a tall task of bringing dignity and decorum to this unruly bunch. She's director of quality assurance, executive producer, co-host, all-around nice gal, Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
Great to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's our first show of the year.
First show of the year. And it's 2019. It just seems...
It seems like a weird...
Seems kind of weird after a while. You know, I remember... It was like 20 years ago when I kept thinking, well, you know, I've grown up with 19-something. 20 is going to be weird. And
right.
Yeah.
It's 2019.
Well, I even started with 18-something.
Yeah. So,
I started with 18-something, went through 19-something, and now it's 20-something.
20-something. You know, crazy.
Back in the day.
No, the 2019, I don't know. It's not a big deal, but it's like, and then it's going to be 2020.
You know, well, there's a show on TV. A news show. One of those 60-minute wannabes on ABC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's called 2020.
2020. Yeah, but I think that has to do with vision.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Okay, yeah, it didn't have to do with the year. Now, there was a song, though, wasn't it? In the year.
You're thinking of.
No, that's 25.
You're thinking
25,
of Prince.
Zachary, oh, okay.
Zachary Party Evans. Like It's 1999.
That was a long time. Yeah, we're 20 years past that now.
Yeah, really.
I mean, golly, we're really carbon dating this crew in
That's
here.
That's right.
So it is the new year. So hopefully you've all made good New Year's resolutions that you can at least think about, and you've probably forgotten them and didn't do anything by now. It's a third already, but I hope you had a good New Year's resolution, a good New Year's Eve.
It is. And before we get going, I give a quick congratulations to my son, Evan.
Evan?
Yes. He did something very special and unique for a 14-year-old.
You know,
normally, the days after Christmas are spent for teenagers just kind of...
Sleeping.
Yes, sleeping. But he volunteered to become an official United States Sea Cadet.
Yeah, with the Sea Cadet program. Very
yes, so he
with
had
that.
To endure the day after Christmas for 9 days, and I picked him up today, full-on military training. He was woke
it's like
up.
Like a boot camp.
Oh, yeah. He said he was woke up at 4 a.m. with a garbage can, and he did PT until the sun come up, and it grew him up a whole lot. So it's an impressive organization. We hear a lot about snowflakes. He's 14.
14, you said. Okay.
But the entire organization is ran. It's self-running. So
right.
The officers are 16, 17, 18-year-olds. Mm. It's quite impressive. They're very sharp, very smart American youth. It was
God
kind
bless
of a breath of fresh air.
God bless him. Now there are,
but a lot of work. But congratulations to him.
Congratulations, Evan, because we know that when we give you kids the chance and the challenge, you rise to the occasion.
They do.
They rise to the occasion. You just got to give them the chance and the challenge that this is what's got to happen, and they'll do it. They're like everybody else. You know, just don't poison them with all the other stupid stuff.
And there's good things. And if you know any children or youth in that age, we have a local division right here in Mobile.
Yeah, the Dunlap Division of the Navy League Sea Cadets.
Mm-hmm. They meet right at ATC.
Which we're part of that organization. They meet out at ATC. They train out at the Coast Guard base.
It's really I mean, we have people driving from Biloxi and way over. So, I mean, it's really a nice thing to have it right here. So check out our Facebook page. I put a link on there if anyone's interested.
Please do.
It's a great thing to do with your kids.
Because they're recruiting, and I think it's, what, 9 to 19
or
something like that?
You can start out, actually, at age 11.
11?
They call it lead cadets, and then it moves into an older age.
Right. So the middle schoolers, 11, can start, and it goes to 19. Mm-hmm. It's like it's sort of a mix of Boy Scout and Junior ROTC.
Exactly. That's the best description. It is. And it's fun. The kids are interested.
Teresa, you said you were in the middle of nowhere to pick him up in Florida.
Yeah, it was in this place called Keystone Heights, Florida.
Wow.
It was quite beautiful. It was like a campground type area, but it was out there. So
it worked those kids over. And I know you're talking about that love-hate relationship. You're like going, oh, my God, I don't want to do this again.
Well, yeah, I tried to talk him out of it.
I did it.
That was good.
Yeah.
You can't do it, but I did it.
That's it. Nothing like
so
it.
So it's cool.
Anyway, I hope everyone had a great
All right, Evan, we are very, very proud of you. So look, Evan kept his New Year's resolution. He's probably the only one.
So far.
Probably the only one out there. All right. We always cover the terror. And there was a little bit of terror, but there was a twist this week.
Yeah.
And you know that the terror now happens so regularly, it goes through the headlines quickly.
Right.
If I don't snag it, it's
gone.
I gotta go really looking for it. Right. Earlier this week, three were stabbed at a train station somewhere in the United Kingdom by somebody yelling "Allahu Akbar." So there's a strong suspicion that it's a terrorist act.
Wasn't a little group of nuns.
I don't know.
Nothing like that.
But so I mention it because we always mention that the terror keeps happening over and over. There's another somewhat, I guess you call it terrorist act, but it's a twist. Mm-hmm. And I'm bringing it up for a reason, not just that it's a twist, but here's where some of the real danger lies. A 51-year-old German man was arrested after he ran his Mercedes-Benz into several crowds of foreign migrants. He didn't kill any of them, but I think it was like five or six that he injured severely. And he was driving all over. He went to one town and he missed them, went to another town and he ran into a bunch of them. That's where he injured a bunch of them. And then he was driving to another town to do it again.
Whoa.
And that's where they caught him.
Wow.
But this is a German who was, he was xenophobic, shouting anti-migrant, bigoted, racist things when they arrested him, blah, blah, blah. And the ring I bring it up, and I'm not saying the guy was right to do it, but this is what happens when you don't deal with extreme situations.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't deal with immigration or migrant crime they had all the rapes and stuff over there. And you never know, your grandmother's at the Christmas market and she got stabbed to death by somebody with a carving knife going, "Allahu Akbar," right? That's got to get under control. And if you don't control those extreme situations, guess what? There comes a point that other extremists say, "All right, y'all ain't going to take care of this nonsense. We're going to take care of it."
Well, and historically, Islam has never just went away.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, if you look at the history of when it began, it has never dissolved.
No.
It has always had to be beaten back.
It has to be beaten back.
And I know that's a controversial topic sometimes, but that's just the history of how it works.
Okay, so we're already here, so I'll just go ahead and go all the way.
Go for it. Go.
I'm telling you what you're seeing in Europe, and I don't know when it's going to happen. But the Europeans, because they believe in this multiculturalism crap, and they're trying to bring in all these migrants from these Islamic countries, and they have radical Islam strains just going crazy all over. What they're setting up is one of two scenarios. One is that the Muslims are, they're going to outbreed you, they're going to outmigrate you, and in a generation or two, they're going to take over your countries, and you're going to become Islamic republics.
Yes.
And they're going to not... No more German beer, no more French wine, and they're gonna yeah. make you
It'll
wear.
It'll be Germistan.
It'll be Germistan.
Well, and it
That's
kind
exactly
of is just
right.
a mathematical thing, because you got to remember when the family unit that we just assume is dissolved, and you can have as many wives as you want. Your population can increase much faster than in the traditional.
Germans, Europeans have 0.2 children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they have
Muslims
like negative
have 22.2 children.
Because they have so many wives.
Yeah, because they can have multiple
take
wives.
As long. Right.
So the other thing, though, before we go to the break, since I'm all the way out here, mm-hmm. the other scenario, if they don't in a generation or two go to Germistan or whatever you want to call it being taken over.
Francistan.
Is that the Europeans, particularly the Germans, will say, we know where the ovens are and we know how to restart them.
Yeah.
And it'll be just as gruesome, and it'll be just as hideous, but it's going to be heinous. There's probably not a good solution.
No.
Yeah.
And all these people who think they're putting this together, we're all going to kumbaya, drink Coca-Cola, and coexist.
No.
There's going to be coming a day, and you'll read one that hopefully we'll be, Mark and I will be dead.
Yeah.
Evan will be around.
But then again, you never know. Sometimes things can ramp up faster than you think.
That's true. France... Those things in France may be going on. Okay.
But anyway.
We're way over the break, but look, we're ready for your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And hey, coming to you from studios that you can designate, your business can sponsor these studios here. And don't forget, Serta's Brewing, because we will be doing another cigar and beer night somewhere, probably in February. We're trying
Along
to nail that.
Along with Havana Rays?
We'll probably do it with Serta's Beer, which is at 600 Government Street, but we'll do it at Havana Rays Cigar Bar and Lounge at 2351 Airport Boulevard.
Excellent.
So watch for that when we
so
get that
fun.
Figured out, and we will give you a call. We'll call everyone of you.
We're going to call everybody.
We will call all of you and tell you.
We got them robocall things
going. That's right. We can robocall this thing. All right. Look, we were just talking about all the crap out there and what's going on in Germany, and we got it still going on with the border here. People trying to get in. The Germans, they didn't even do the border thing. They just let them come all in. But let's go to line two, LD, the mad trucker. What do you got for us, LD?
Hey, guys, let us not forget those two nice ladies in their hijab, which were Muslims. They stood before the city council wanting Sharia law in their area, and the council had voted it down. Well, when they stood up to speak, they said these famous words, "We are not the majority here, but we soon will be." In other words, we're going to breed you out of existence.
Yep.
They're doing it in Europe right now. Europe made a huge mistake, and they can't walk it back now, but they're going to do it here at this country. And mark my words, we'll all be praying to Allah if they have their way about it.
Yeah, no, it's a tough situation. Now, we're nowhere near where the Europeans are. I don't think we even have 1%.
But we're heading in that direction.
We're doing all the things. We're 1%, I think. The Europeans are less than 10%, but if you go into some of their cities, they have some cities that have 15, 20, and 25%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
we have
which
a few
makes
of those.
Huge ghettos in those. That's why there's no-go zones in Stockholm and no-go zones in Paris, because they're totally autonomous.
Police
and
don't
run.
Go there.
No.
Police don't go there. So
they say no-go, not for you tourists. It's mean for the French police.
Yeah.
It's run by the Mutawa, the religious police, the Islamic religious police. They run that place. It is run by Sharia. Those things are happening over there. And we are, because we are going to have, it's not the first time, it will be our second Muslim representative, again from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the first one was Keith Ellison.
Right.
But this one is actually a Somali immigrant.
Right.
That came here.
She's very
got elected
anti-Israel.
A woman,
yeah, she's
a very anti-Israel, and she will be sworn in on Thomas Jefferson's Quran.
Well, Keith Ellison was the first to do that.
Did he do it on Jefferson's Quran?
Yeah, I believe
and
so.
And you're serious.
I'm serious.
Yeah, you're serious.
Well, and people go, what do you mean Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah.
Well, Thomas Jefferson.
Tell
him. He read the Quran.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to know something?
Thomas
There's
Jefferson.
There's a Quran in my house. You know why? Because I want to know what they said.
Yeah. Well, you know,
every
Thomas
American
Jefferson
should
was
read
a philosopher.
It. Correct.
He read all of the philosophies.
Right.
So he was obviously an educated man,
yes,
without question. But
so there was one in his library. There's one in my house.
Yeah.
Well, right. And what's fascinating, do you know the reason Marines are called leathernecks sometimes?
Yes,
and
I
it
do.
Relates to why Jefferson had a Quran.
Right. Do you remember the story?
Pretty much.
Go ahead.
They were tired of getting their throat slit, so they learned to tie leather around them. And they had better survival rate.
It was during the Barbary Wars.
The Barbary Wars.
There was a lot of trying to behead
and
guys.
That's why,
and
Muslim pirates.
Yes.
Jefferson had had enough of
and
the
remember
Muslim
the,
pirates.
Kind of like the Somali pirates.
Sent
the same
Marines
thing.
In.
Sent the Marines in, and they didn't want to get their heads thrown.
Therefore, Jefferson was like, who are these people? And he was just trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. I mean, in essence,
why. To tell the whole story, do you know why we went after the Barbary pirates? Is because first we paid them tribute. And they kept wanting more and more. We tried to bribe them. We tried to appease them with payments. And they kept wanting more. And finally they said, enough of this crap.
The first case where we learned appeasement doesn't work. It was the first case in this country's history where we learned appeasement
doesn't
does not work.
And it will
work.
Never work in that particular situation.
No, it does not work.
Situation.
And Democrats do not
understand
that. They're like, hey, we've got a special call for you on line one. He's actually the first call of the year, but we took LD quick because we know LD is a hit-and-run caller. And the mad trucker would be gone in a flash. But we got George Williams listening and calling in from South Florida. George Williams, who was the host of Counterpoint, right?
Was your point of view.
Your point of view.
Your point of view. That's it. Your point of view on Friday nights on this station. George, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was listening to you guys. I said, let me call in and talk to my brothers and sisters in Alabama. I miss you guys.
But we miss you. It's so cool to hear from you. Now, tell us, what are you doing? Happy New Year to you, but what are you doing down there in South Florida besides enjoying the sunshine?
Well, you know, I'm definitely involved with the Republican Party down here, and we worked our buns off to get Senator Bill Nelson out of office. We
congratulations.
Got
office. Yeah.
We've got DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, a good buddy of mine, and he's the new governor, and I'll be going to Tallahassee on Monday and Tuesday for the inauguration and his swearing in. We're very happy down here.
That's awesome.
They tried to get us, though. I'm telling you, this Democrat corruption down here, especially in Broward and Palm Beach County, it was horrible.
No, that was really crazy. I mean, it was so blatant and transparent of trying to steal the election, but it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that is true. And what you guys were saying about the Sharia law, if any American, I mean, native-born American, agrees to Sharia law, they need to, in the United States, they need their heads examined. Because, you know, I was stationed overseas in Nigeria, and I covered 40 countries in Africa, and a lot of Sharia law. And I tell you, Americans don't know what they're getting into when they allow that.
No, and it's something that can't coexist.
No, not at all.
Sharia law doesn't coexist with other laws.
Do you remember the guy from Waco?
Sharia law is their own law, Pete. They make up their own, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's not good for America.
No, it's not good. Well, George, you got to come back and visit.
Yeah, I will. I'll be coming back in a few weeks here, and I'll stop by and say hi to you guys, okay?
Yeah, we'd love to see you. We appreciate you listening and calling in from South Florida.
All right, guys. Take it easy now.
You too. Happy New Year. Congratulations on all your success down there.
That was a great call. It reminded me of when that crazy church that would do all the they would burn the I think they're
from
Waco.
The Westboro Baptist
yeah,
Church.
Yeah, not Waco, Westboro.
In Westboro in
yes.
Kansas.
Yes, I misspoke.
They're the ones
but
who would
they
go
were,
to the
they would
the
burn
funerals.
Well, but they got in this big burning thing of burning Korans because they're, you know,
right.
And I get what they're saying. You know, it's not of God, and I understand that. But honestly, if you're a Christian or even just an American, don't burn the Korans. Try to read it and get someone else to read it, and then you'll understand.
You'll know.
Oh, they're doing exactly what their holy book tells them to
That's
do.
That's right.
So once you read it, you realize the best you can hope for is a backslidden Muslim.
Yes, yes. No, you don't want a devout one.
Correct. Yeah, the ones that just are like nominal cultural ones aren't that bad. It's the ones who actually believe what's in there. So, yeah, that
but
reminded me of
that. You just watch them over there. Thankfully.
That's right.
Hopefully for us, Europe is far enough ahead of us that we can watch them implode and maybe learn and pull back from the brink on them. Now, speaking of all this, the one other thing I wanted to say, get into, she's back.
I know.
She's got the gavel. Pelosi's got her big plane back to fly back and forth, the speaker's plane. And she's up there going, I'm equal to the president. The Constitution considers me equal to the president.
Gosh.
Not exactly. The president is the head of one branch of government. You're the head of half a branch of government.
Right.
So, you're not exactly equal.
Not
legislative,
exactly.
Executive. Yeah, but yeah, you know. But hey, the point is well taken. You are really close to the power. Too close.
Yeah, exactly.
And now the crazy
third in line.
And now the crazy thing is she can't rule out. We don't know if we're going to do impeachment. We don't know if we're going to do indictment. You know, I actually got to ask: are they going to do anything? and actually, I don't think they are. They're actually having their own trouble. So you don't get this in the news, but they're having their own trouble because they're young leftists. They're really rabid, like the Ocasio. Cortez.
Oh, yeah.
They're not playing by the rules.
No.
They're not raising their hands to be recognized.
And that's the thing that Nancy, you know, it's kind of a good thing, you know, that she is back in charge because now we can kind of see she's either going to really upset the left side or she's going to really upset 55% of all Americans.
All Americans. She's going to have to go nuts.
At least 55% of all Americans.
She's going to have to go nuts because they have elected some incredibly crazy progressives up there.
Yep.
I mean lunatics. And it's what can they push Nancy to go with them? So watch it. I think what we can expect for the next 2 years is just a flipping circus.
Bickering.
Bickering and nonsense. It'll be like watching, you know, rerun Wives of Beverly Hills on steroids or something. Just what? Or one of those, you know, reality shows. Remember where the rocker had all the girls and they were all, it was like a bachelor thing and he had all the girls there. What was that one?
Oh,
guy?
Yeah.
You know, he had all these like rocker chicks and it was really,
I don't watch reality TV.
It should just, you're right. Let MTV come in.
It was really hard to watch because it was such a soap opera and stupid turmoil and absurdity all in one and intensity and fake outrage. It's kind of like Congress.
Yeah. Well, so, okay.
All we need is now like in Europe where they actually brawl.
Yeah, where they actually brawl.
That would be really cool.
Where they hit each other.
Yeah.
All right, we're way over the break, but we will be right back with your calls at 343-0106.
That's it.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And at the bottom of the hour, we have a very special sponsor comes aboard, ABC Signs and ABC Shirts, to sponsor for you wit and wisdom from our 40th president. But they, look, if you need custom-made shirts, dry-fit shirts, you need custom-made signs for your business, or maybe just to say Happy New Year, or you're crazy and you want to run for Congress, whatever it is, they can do it. Or maybe you just want a sign, a small you know, a custom-made sign with a likeness of Mark on it in your front yard that says, I love Mark. I mean, whatever it is, ABC signs and ABC shirts, they can do that for you. Give them a call at 877-744-6750 or go to abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z, or abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z. And here is wit and wisdom they bring you from our 40th president.
Future generations of Americans will be thankful for our efforts to humanely regain control of our borders and thereby preserve the value of one of the most sacred possessions of our people, American citizenship. So now, I'll get on with the signing and make this into law. Hope nothing happens to me between here and the table.
Quote very specifically because it was hit from his remarks on signing the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986. He did this on the 6th of November, 1986. But I picked it for a couple of reasons. One is it didn't work. He signed this Control Act, which gave, I think it was amnesty, about 3 million. Illegal aliens who had been, I think the rule was that they had been in the country since at least 1982 or something, and for X amount of years, they got amnesty to become citizens. And all of this was on the promise that they would do reform, immigration, actual immigration reform, and control the border.
Right.
This was 86. This was 32 years ago. It didn't work. It didn't happen. The Congress never followed through. They never really did do comprehensive immigration reform. And that wouldn't have mattered because they never controlled the border.
Right.
And what did he say in here? Be thankful for our efforts to humanely regain control of our borders and preserve the value, one of the most sacred possessions of our people, and that is American citizenship.
Right.
It's not just the sovereignty of our country. It's the sovereignty of each American citizen. People don't understand the sovereignty in this country isn't just of the government or the nation. We're different because every citizen is sovereign.
Right.
Every citizen has freedom, and nobody can tell that citizen what to do as long as they're not violating a law.
Right.
But if they whatever they want to do in their lives, they can do.
Exactly.
They can go where they want to go. They can talk to who they want to talk to. It's not like, you know, unless, of course, you're on Meet the Press
pray
and you're a climate denier.
Pray to whoever they want to pray to.
Pray to whoever you want to pray to. And that's really the key.
That's the main reason.
That's why they wanted it was for religious freedom and to worship the way they wanted to. And that's where we're going to lose this whole thing, folks. I had to be Debbie Downer on New Year's. But you know what? We're fighting a good fight.
Be a realist, though.
But here's the reality of it. Our younger generations are slipping farther and farther away from Christianity and farther away from faith. Every generation has a little less faith and a little less faith, and they care less about it. And you know what? If they don't care about having the right to worship God the way they want to, their creator, then they don't care about freedom.
Right.
They're not going to fight for it because they're going to say, wait a minute, you mean – I get health care, but I can't go to church? Yeah. What about my Playboy PlayStation? Yeah, you can keep the PlayStation. Okay, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where we're going to lose it, is because our coming generations won't care. It won't mean anything to them. And that was a tangent.
You know,
I didn't mean to get into it.
It relates, though. I heard a thing today because I was driving so much about faith and fear. And how when a culture is absent of faith, they have more fear.
Right.
So when a government comes in and says, hey, how are you going to pay for your kids' college? Well, we can do it for you.
How do you pay for healthcare?
I mean,
it's
like as
fear.
A parent. So yes. Like if someone says you get free education, it's paid for, or even just public school, you automatically are like, sure. And that fear is relieved.
Well,
so you've kind of like – you either have one or the other.
Religion has been a part of civilization. Religion has been a part of civilization since virtually the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, that religion has taken, and that faith has taken different forms. And right now, we're moving in this country away from a Christian religion and a Christian faith to a secular humanism
yep.
religion mm-hmm. and a secular humanism faith, which is rests in the federal government.
Yes.
That's where...
Right. No,
that's
it rests in believing
that's where
that
your
the
God
humans
is.
In the federal government like me. They'll be nice to me.
Yeah.
Surely they would
but that's,
do something
that's your,
not
that's
nice.
Your heaven. That's your Valhalla. That's your,
yeah.
you know...
It is. It's everything
DC
comes...
DC is...
The government gives
the
you
paradise.
Everything. They give you your rights. They give you everything.
Mm-hmm.
They can take it all away. That's exactly the way it is. Mm-hmm. And all of this goes with this week's column, which was not in the call news. You might want to call them and let them know.
What?
Was the inhumanity of illegal immigration. It was in the Tri-City Ledger, though. You can get it there.
Oh.
Or you can get it in the Post in Cherokee and some other place. But anyway, the inhumanity of illegal immigration. Really, and the point I was really driving towards in there, this is abusing and exploiting the illegal immigrants as much as anybody.
Sure.
They're being told, I mean, these poor people in Guatemala and Honduras, they're being manipulated by white folk, gringos, from the darn, you know, non-governmental agencies with Soros money going down there and go, oh, yes, come on, follow us. We got a bus for you. We're going to take you up there. We're going to get you United States. We're going to get you asylum, blah, blah, blah. And they're leading them on this goose chase, and then they take them to the border and leave them in a place where, if they didn't get raped or exploited along the way, the women and children,
right.
Now they said, hey, we need a photo op. So while these guys throw rocks, we're going to push you up to the fence.
Right.
So when they tear gas us, we could take pictures of you and little Jose running with snot slinging from your nose.
Exactly.
Because I mean, it's a photo op mm-hmm. thing. They stage the whole thing. They exploit these people. These young girls are going... They know they're getting raped. One of the organizations was giving them the pill after.
Right.
So take this with you. You're going to need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? You're sending young teenage girls, and some of them are only 11 or 12, on this? And then, you know, you're getting me off on this whole thing, but like, oh, but we can't separate the families. Well, we have no papers. This is my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay, well, we won't
sure.
separate you.
Right.
No, he's a sex trafficker. The
yeah.
Democrats support sex traffickers. Because we can't figure out who's who.
You know, I think about it too. What if it were the other way around? And, you know, I'm thinking like as a parent, if somebody ended up on a border with my kid that they have abducted,
yeah.
I would be very mad that someone didn't require some documents.
Oh,
yeah. You're the dad. Okay,
you're
go ahead.
Dad. Take my kid.
I mean, just
take
think about
okay,
that.
No, yeah, you're right. There's probably some family down there going, what? It's just unworkable because... And this goes all the way back to the shutdown. Democrats don't care. They don't care about border security.
Right.
They don't care about the illegal immigrants. They don't care about the effect the illegal immigrants have on our economy and how they suppress wages and they take jobs from Americans. They don't care anybody.
Well,
you know what they care about? Is that Donald Trump has no success.
Yes, exactly.
That's
and,
all it is.
And that's yeah. that we were discussing, you know, the money. It's like, mm-hmm. well, you know, we don't have the money. We can't afford to spend the money. It's like, since when does the federal government, and I paint, you know, both Republicans and
oh,
Democrats
yeah.
with this brush.
Exactly.
If they want $5 billion for whatever, they'll authorize $5 billion. That's
hit
a
print.
Drop in the button.
Hit
exactly.
Print.
Yeah.
But,
right.
I mean, if somebody
right.
came up right now with $5 billion, the Democrats would not authorize that money
nope.
to be spent to build a wall, fence, whatever you wanted, because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit the
right.
fact that if a wall is built, if a border security is built, Donald Trump wins.
Right.
And they will
so
not let
it.
Donald Trump win.
Yep.
Even though in 2013, 54 of 54 Senate Democrats voted for $46 billion for border security.
Exactly.
But now they won't vote for $5 billion
because that would be another promise that
Donald Trump
fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And
they all they're thinking about is 2020 and throwing him out of office.
But you know exactly. what? Honestly, he even said it today. His approvals have never been stronger. He's like, of all the things I've ever done, I've never had more support
than for this.
So in some ways, the more they go against it, the more he
oh,
locks
no,
in the fact it's very likely he's going to win
right.
again.
Because I see all these people
yeah.
over social media going, I can't believe that
big old orange Cheeto is throwing a temper tantrum and holding the government hostage and wants $5 billion for an immoral, ineffective wall.
They all say the same thing, right?
Right.
And it's like, really? You don't know if the wall works or not, and you're blaming this all on him. Oh, it's just
and they all live behind walls. Like
they
Nancy
all live
Pelosi,
behind walls.
Dianne Feinstein, Obama's new compound. Someone said the whatever his newest compound that he made.
Oh no,
it's like
a house
huge,
and a compound.
A huge wall.
And you see this?
They
the
all
Washington
have walls group. Around them.
They do. They had to. He bought a house and they had to build a wall around Obama's house.
Right.
They had to
right.
build a wall. And right. Trump tweeted, well, Obama even has a 10-foot wall around his house.
Mm-hmm.
So the Washington Post ran an article here just in the last week to say Trump is wrong about the 10-foot wall.
It's 9 feet.
It's
only
eight.
It's only eight.
But you read the article and it never says in there that there is an 8-foot wall. It just says he's wrong about the 10-foot
wall. Yeah.
I mean, that's
hypocrisy.
Okay, I know we got
it's
a caller
so
holding, and I meant to get to him, but I got into a rant and I couldn't help myself. So we're going to be right back with your calls, and we got some lines open, or give us a text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We've been talking about the border and all that stuff and the silly shutdown. And the point I was making about everybody maligning our Orange Cheeto president, saying that he's just throwing a temper tantrum and he just wants, you know, he's just holding the government hostage. No, he's not. He's doing what the people who elected him wanted. The Democrats said they would do it. They didn't do it. The Republicans said they would do it. No one has done it. Donald Trump is the only one who might actually, and I think he will, get this done. He's actually going to secure the border. It's been going on for over 30 years. And that's the point for all the Democrats and liberals and media talking, oh, it's just a temper tantrum. I can't believe he's holding it hostage. He's doing what the American people want. They want the border secure. Now, we've got somebody on the line. We got Bob from Saraland, who worked with the Reagan administration on the 1986 Immigration Reform and Control Act and can enlighten us on it. Bob, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, I appreciate getting on the air. I lived in Arizona for 30 years before moving to Mobile, and we had to go back and document how they came in, how were they living, how had they survived. We helped many of these migrants, illegals, whatever we're going to politically correctly call them now. We had to help them document where they had been employed so that they could show that they had been self-supporting, not living off handouts, welfares, you know, what have you. In order for them to qualify to get that amnesty and to be, you know, on that citizenship track and whatnot. Now everybody's just talking about, well, let them all in and we'll let them all stay.
Yeah. And if you do that, there'll be 20 million more next year.
Of course. And of course, the caveat to that was that it was promised that this would be fixed.
Right. Yeah.
That we'd have immigration reform, that we'd have border control, that we'd have on and on.
That we wouldn't be
in
this situation again where we had a bunch of people we had to figure out what to do with because they'd already slipped under the fence.
Exactly. And the numbers have grown immensely. I mean, we see it here in Alabama, but nothing like what you see in Arizona. There's just a steady caravan coming in, and it's a joke.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to me because I drive around. I'm actually originally from Texas, and there's a lot of them in Texas. But, you know, we don't see that much in Alabama. But I would tell you, when I go up to North Carolina, I drive through Greenville, South Carolina. There's one side of Greenville, South Carolina, where you don't see very many signs in English. Mm-hmm. I mean,
no.
There's Hispanics everywhere.
Yes, and you know, I'm wondering, I see a number of them driving trucks and they can't speak English. CDL.
Right.
How did they pass all those tests? And, you know, or is somebody just handing out CDLs because we need them to work?
Yeah. Well, and that is part of the problem. Now we do need them to work because we got so many able-bodied people who won't work.
Right.
We don't have enough workers. I mean, that's all part of it. But see, that's the frustration, and that's what the millennials don't understand. They look at us old guys and go, God, you guys are so mean and harsh. It's because we've been watching this stupid charade for over 30 years, and they still haven't fixed it, and they're putting us right back where we were.
Right, and it's not just the immigration end. It's the government trying to answer everything. Mm-hmm. I can remember as a kid when my grandmother got on Medicare when it was first rolled out by Johnson. It was wonderful. She had 12 pair of glasses and 4 hearing aids because you could keep getting all you wanted.
Right.
And we wised up to that nonsense, and now you can't get any glasses or any hearing aids on these programs. So, right. You know, we went from one extreme to the other, and we're going to end up with the same thing with the immigration. You know, we have some sort of border control, but not really. And, you know, I don't know what number you want to use, 10 million, 12 million, 20 million here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no real count.
Right.
And how much more is this going to grow, particularly when each one who becomes a citizen or has legal status can then bring over grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, cousins, brother-in-laws, you know, and pretty soon, you know, 5 million become 10 million, become 40 million.
Right.
It grows long.
No, it's exponential. It's crazy. What now? Can you say, what did you do in Arizona that you were working on this?
I worked for an agency that provided social services in a rural portion of the state, still in Maricopa County with Phoenix, but we were 70 miles outside of Phoenix.
Okay. So you worked on and helped draft the legislation.
Right. I was appointed to the Maricopa County Community Service Commission. I was one of two Republicans on the commission, so that was always a lot of fun. yeah. And, you know, we were able to get some things through that made a difference because people were tired of just handing things out. You know, you don't get a driver's license in Arizona just like Alabama just because you show up and ask for one.
Right.
Well, and that doesn't mean every state's doing that. A lot of them are starting to hand them out. And, you know, okay, now I have identification. I can do this. I can do that.
Oh, yeah, no, they're doing it. They're taking the innovation. Now, the interesting thing about the immigration reform is if they had actually done everything they said they would do and actually the 86 Act, all of that would have worked if they would have done it, if they would have controlled the border, stopped the flow, and then actually had comprehensive reform. It would have worked, and it doesn't sound that crazy. You know,
no,
now
The only part that really worked was getting good people allowed to stay legally.
Right.
Because, again, you had to have a clean criminal record. You had to show that, you know, you may have been working for $2 an hour instead of, you know, $5.50, but you were employed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you maintained and you supported your family and you weren't, you know, on the street corner with the sign, you know, looking for handouts and whatnot. And the people who came through on that were the kind of people we want as citizens we want that build the country. Just to let in everybody who can make it to the border on however means they get there.
Especially now that we got like these MS-13 guys. Oh, my God. Or like the guy that killed that poor Newman, California police officer. Illegal. I mean, no. Why are we letting these people in?
Yeah, and that's the whole point, that, you know, you're letting sex offenders and everything else in, not to mention the thing nobody wants to say out loud very often is the public health issue.
Right.
Right.
They're bringing disease.
Yeah, they are. TB and a number of things are still pretty rampant in a lot of the South American countries. And here they come in, and we were required to be tested every 6 months for TB. Because of the population we worked with. And
they wanted
to make sure we weren't going to spread it to anybody.
Right.
I'm like, well, how about the people spreading it to us?
Yeah, see, that's just crazy. That's crazy.
That's
hey, Bob, thank you so much for listening and calling in from Saraland. We glad you made it from Arizona to Alabama.
Well, appreciate your time.
All right, thanks for listening. Hope you continue to listen. All right. We've covered, I mean, that one we could go on all night. You get me another rant
call.
Or something.
Yeah,
great call. I wanted to kind of hit on the because we were off for Christmas. How about the media meltdown over Trump going to see the troops?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They went
and
nuts.
Melania.
Just because him and Melania went to see the troops, and then they really went nuts because the troops loved them.
Yeah.
And they were all over them and saying, sign this and sign that. And the media and the Democrats going, that's got to be against
and
the
law. They
didn't
really announce that they were going. They just went.
It was
a bunch of them got caught, you know.
Yeah.
With their foot in their mouth, because they had just said, why isn't he visiting anyone? And like he was basically on his way, like while they were.
And that exposes hypocrisy, because they're going.
They want him to cry.
Trump, he wouldn't even go see the troops. Why isn't he visiting the troops over Christmas?
He's actually already there.
I can't believe he's bothering the troops in a war zone and wasting our money.
And look at that, signing a hat.
He's signing a hat. Of course, now they've got all sorts of things over social media where Barack Obama signed hats for military troops. What are you visiting him to? Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. It's the president. God, that nonsense.
Talk
and then getting in a little bit also that one thing, he's getting some criticism about withdrawing from Syria because apparently General Mattis was not in favor with that. But one of the things that, have you seen it reported that he got Saudi Arabia to agree to help rebuild Syria?
I did not see that, but that's good.
That's very good. So anyway, I guess we're about out of time. It is a new year.
Hey, and Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. The big game is coming up Monday. Make sure they play like the first quarter against Alabama. Otherwise, it could be a tough game. But look, Roll Tide. Go to our Facebook page, and we will be back with bringing you everything from 2019. Honey, it's time to come home.